is good music. And one of the hit songs that led to our guest here being one of the most famous teen heartthrobs of all time. And he's now bringing his music to Omaha this weekend, performing with the Omaha Symphony at the wonderful Holland Center. Happy to be welcomed right now by David Cassidy here on 1110 KFAB. Hello there, David.
Hey, it's K-Fab.
Yeah, it's K-Fabulous.
What a cool thing that is. And can I tell you, honest, I swear, today is my son's 20th birthday.
Wow.
And I am so blessed to have a son like mine. He's incredibly talented and has got incredible depth and is so dedicated. He's just been in the studio with his band, and I won't say any more than I'm so proud of him. And I have done one symphony concert in my entire life, and it would be very, I would say, obvious if I were to say, gee, I'm really excited. I mean this sincerely. I am so pumped about coming to do three shows in Omaha with what is considered one of the top five symphonies in the country. And as I've only done one, it was amazing to hear how rich and lush, because a lot of my early hits, both with the Partridge Family and my own solo, David Cassidy stuff, mm-hmm. has a lot of rich strings and horns. And I'm so excited about doing this. To hear them embellished like that with a fantastic symphony. I also have heard that the Holland Center, is it a performing arts center?
It is, and it's beautiful.
I've heard it's one of the most beautiful places in the country also.
Just opened a couple of years ago, so you'll be working the cobs out there. But it's a wonderful place.
Well, I'm there Friday night, I think it's 8,
yep.
With the symphony, and Saturday night at 8, and then Sunday at 2 o'clock.
That's right. All the details at omahasymphony.org, and tickets are very reasonably priced for this show. Now, how does it work, David, to perform at the Omaha Symphony? Because obviously you're very busy, and you can't fly into Omaha every night and practice with the Omaha Symphony. So how do you prepare for performing with the symphony that you've only now just met?
Well, here's the wonderful thing. I just had all new charts done for this specific two-night, one matinee. All new charts, which are quite elaborate for all of those pieces for the symphony. But when I had an opportunity and was asked if I would do it, I had old charts, which were good, but these are a double-sized orchestra from what we recorded originally, like my first solo album and hit single, Cherish. It's rich and beautiful, and a lot of people don't know, but I was the first person to have a hit everywhere but in the U.S. because it was never released as a single of I Write the Songs. And Bruce Johnston, who wrote the song, co-produced it with me, and we got a man by the name of Bob Alcivar, who did Bridge Over Troubled Waters, and I mean, he's a magnificent arranger, and he arranged all the string parts, and I had Carl Wilson and Bruce Johnston, who were both in the Beach Boys. Carl was lead singer on many of their big hits over the years, and we did it live with 36 pieces including the rhythm section in the studio where I cut a lot of 100 songs, 100 recordings, and at RCA, at the old RCA where all the massive, great 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s hits were made, which unfortunately is no longer, but you can tell by the way I'm rambling on that I'm genuinely so excited about doing this. Because when you hear, when you play with a rhythm section, it's great, and you can get a lot of the pads and so forth that's how we refer to as strings and horns with a keyboard. And to be honest with you, it doesn't compare when you have a really fantastic, talented orchestra to play those parts. It's just, it gives me chills thinking about it.
And you'll certainly have it this weekend. Again, shows are Friday and Saturday, 8 o'clock show, Sunday at 2 o'clock matinee at the Holland Center, omahasymphony.org, or call 342-3560 to contact the Omaha Symphony and Ticket Omaha and get tickets to see David Cassidy, who's our guest here with the Omaha Symphony this weekend. You mentioned, we only have a few minutes here with you, David, and I wanted to ask you a little bit about your very famous family as well.
Yes, indeed.
You mentioned your son, his name's Bo, correct?
Correct, B-E-A-U.
Yeah, he got a birthday today, but I wanted to ask you about your daughter, because I'm a father myself, and I've got a little girl, and you as a father, your daughter has been in a couple of movies here in the last couple of years where she meets her untimely end in each one, in the movie Taken and in Nightmare on Elm Street here recently. How can you as a dad watch these movies and go, yep, there's my daughter up there dead? You can't, can you?
I can't. I have watched her work. She was one of the four stars of the past season of Melrose Place. And before that, she did a series for CBS, which is on, unfortunately, on Saturday night, called Harper's Island, which was only on for a season. But she was in the movie, in the feature film with Liam Neeson called Taken, which was a gigantic box office hit.
Great movie.
Critical hit. Mm-hmm. He's a fantastic actor.
Yeah.
She was she went to Paris to shoot this film 3 years ago. And she's now 25. She's just turned 25. And she's an amazingly dedicated, as my son is. And my daughter is a wonderful actress. And she has her own team. She rarely calls me for advice. But before she became a professional, I gave her as much input as I could, which is, don't ever take a job for money. Take a job that where they pay you scale or whatever they offer you if you love the work. If you do good work, everything else comes. What I find really interesting about our culture today, unlike my father, who is really the consummate American theatrical actor, he won Tony Awards, he was nominated for Emmys for his dramatic work, and he was gifted and a dedicated... He gave me and my brother Sean, my brother Patrick, and Shirley, I might add, the work ethic. And it's all about the work. So I told my daughter, before she became a professional, I said, make sure you are prepared, because it's like you have one bullet in your chamber. And when you fire it, you're only a virgin once. You're only an unknown until you do your first bit of work. Find a great piece that you can display your talents. Doesn't matter if it's one scene. And when she did Taken with Liam, she's in the first 10, 15 minutes of the movie. She's the first girl to get kidnapped and then murdered.
Right.
I did see that piece because I am a very big fan of Liam's. I think he's a fantastic actor. And I met him a couple of times, and she said he was very, very supportive of her when they were shooting in Paris. And shortly after, sadly, his wife died. And it was very difficult. But I'm really proud of both my kids, but particularly going through living in Hollywood, being an actress, and dealing with you have a very famous father and uncle, and, you know, her step-grandmother, Shirley Jones, Academy Award winner. And, my family's artistic, creative legacy is something I'm genuinely really proud of.
Well, certainly.
My brother Sean has become one of the most sought-after and respected writer-producers in Hollywood.
Yeah, I'm going to introduce you right now, David, to my cohort here on 1110 KFAB, Lucy Chapman, who has a lifelong obsession with your brother, Sean.
Yeah, he was supposed to be waiting for me, David.
Well, you know, I have heard that story myself about me, but it's always nice to hear about my brother. I had to actually twist his arm a while ago because he doesn't want to be... on camera anymore. He's a wonderful actor. In fact, the last he did as an actor was with me on Broadway doing Blood Brothers. And it's a fantastic play with music. And he and I together working in that show, it was a highlight for me. And it was the last acting he had done. And people, a lot of people aren't aware of how many producing from his standpoint of writing and producing, how many critically acclaimed sort of left field kind of dark, his imagination and his sense of humor is pretty dark, but he's so talented, and I'm really proud of him. He actually has, and this is true, Walt Disney's office in the animation building at Disney, which is now owned by Disney ABC. But he has the original kitchen that General Electric built for Walt in 1955. And it's pretty amazing. All the original stuff is in there.
David, you went before Sean.
Yes, I was there.
You carved that path before him for the teen idol.
Yeah, well, he walked into, when he was 18, they had offered me the Hardy Boys, and I had just come off my world tour playing stadiums. And I had announced before, after doing it for 5 years, that I would not continue to do this anymore. And I, you know, to the international press in the U.S. as well, I just said, I can't work 18 hours a day, 7 days a week any longer. And I need to be able to stop and get a perspective, because I literally worked all day long on the television show on the Partridge Family. And at 7:10 at night, which was, according to SAG, they had to keep me before they paid me golden time. I would drive over the hill from Burbank, where we shot one camera film. It would take 5 days to shoot. Every night, I would go in to the studio and record live with the band. And I cut hundreds of songs, not just for the Partridge Family, but also on my own. And on weekends, I would leave on a Friday night, not go in the studio, fly wherever I was flying in the U.S. while we were still shooting, and I would do two shows on Saturday, two shows on Sunday, fly back home, and Monday morning at 7:30 be in the makeup chair. So I had no life.
You know, David, that sounds like probably the same thing that Sean went through. Can you give me a snapshot of the Cassidy household today in reunions, when you guys get together with the two of you? Do you get together and do you talk about the craziness and the craziness of the fans?
Well,
laugh
not really.
About it.
No, oh, of course. I mean, most of understand there are four of us. Our brothers. My brothers and all of us, four boys, they are my half-brothers because they are sons of Shirley. Confusing because Shirley played my mother, and I had done like 10 guest shots, leads in Bonanza, Mod Squad, Ironside, Marcus Welby, all those, really, the FBI, all those big dramatic shows. And at the end of that season in television, what happens, you become sort of hot. And I had to do like 6 or 7 auditions as an actor for the Partridge Family. And we actually did a screen test on film, which they don't do anymore, too expensive, where there were two groups. And the lead role, who in the original pilot called The Family Business, which is what it was called. The role of Connie, which later changed to Shirley, because the night before we did the screen test, she signed a deal to play the lead. And I walked on the set in the morning at 7 o'clock in the morning, and they opened those big, huge, massive sliding doors on the soundstage. And I can still see her. She's by those old telephones they'd have on a sort of on a podium. And I'm walking maybe 50 yards away, and I'm walking closer. I'm looking, and I go, that can't be Shirley. No, because they hadn't cast it. And I'd already done like 7 auditions. I'd gone through the whole beginning with the talent coordinator and then the casting director and then the associate producers and then the producers and then the producers in the network. And finally we got to that moment, and as I'm walking towards her, she looks up at me and she goes, "Oh no." I looked at her and went, "Shirley, what are you doing here?" She looked at me and she said, "David, what are you doing here?" And it was a moment of like, oh my God, could this be? And in about 5 seconds, we both went, oh my God, how do we explain this? And we did a screen test together, and my group was Susan Day, and in the other was Danny Bonaducci. And later they cast Dave Madden, who had been on Laugh-In and had done another couple of series. And there was a magical chemistry.
Yeah.
And
the rest is history.
I believe that it had a lot to do. You know, the original writers and directors had come from the best, from the Dick Van Dyke Show, from all of those great half-hour sitcoms from the 60s. So this was 1970, so it was very, very amazing.
Now, do you take time in between the songs with the symphony this weekend to talk about some of this behind-the-scenes stuff in your career and on the show? Great.
Oh, no. Every show I do is different. I don't have any set pattern at all. So I go out. I don't know how guys do it. There's a famous story about Danny Gans that he became a huge star in Las Vegas. And no one knew him, but he did vocal impersonations as a singer, and he was brilliant. But I got to know him and his producer, and who now just ironically produces Donnie and Marie.
Right. Well, David, I'm afraid if I don't leave it there today, I'm going to get yelled at by my sales department.
No, you're not.
All our sponsors.
Way,
but tell you what,
David Cassidy said, "No, I'm not going to."
Let's big time you. Let's have everyone go see the show this weekend, and they can hear all this stuff at the Holland Center.
I promise you, for me, it's going to be incredibly exciting. I'd only done one before, and I'm genuinely pumped about coming out there and doing it and working at the Holland Center. So
awesome.
Friday, Saturday, and Sunday afternoon.
OmahaSymphony.org. David, thanks so much for all your time today. Your father was the best villain in the history of the Columbo series. I wanted to tell
you
that, too.
He did three of them.
Yes,
and
he was
I
perfect.
I so appreciate that.
All right, David, so great talking with you. Thanks so much.
And you too.
All right.
God bless you guys. Have a great day, and I'll see you this weekend.
You too, David. Thank you very much. David Cassidy here again with the Omaha Symphony at the Holland Center this weekend. OmahaSymphony.org. Rush Limbaugh is coming up in just a moment.
Scott Voorhees, mornings 9 to 11 on 1110 KFAB.